Okay, I don't quite know everybody. I'm Clint, in case you don't know me. I'm going to pray, then we'll start. But I just thought the irony of me getting this topic, and this is not typical, but it did happen today. And you can look at my phone if you don't believe me. Probably since I've arrived here, I probably got 6 or 8 texts and 1 phone call and voicemail during the distraction seminar. And now I'm going to teach about how to be distracted on this blooming thing. So I just thought, well, maybe if y'all don't hear anything, at least if I hear something today, maybe I'll, you know, glean some info. But anyway, let me pray, and then we'll get started, okay? Lord, thank you for this good day and for the meal that you provided for us and just the opportunity to gather here in your name and just to fellowship and to love on each other and support each other, but at the same time, and really even more importantly, that your word would be taught and preached, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, would help us to apply it. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to not feel prideful. Help us to look to your word and its guidance and how we make our decisions and how we live out our lives. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. In Christ's name, amen. So, this is called Distracted by Technology and Entertainment, right? So, first thing I want to do, somewhere near you, maybe in front of you on the floor because the row's full, or maybe next to you, and maybe wherever, there is a purple sheet of paper. Can everybody at least see a purple sheet of paper somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay, so here is my request. For those of you who have technology with you right now on your person, can you turn off your phone or silence it, whatever, and place it on that purple sheet of paper? Here's the thing, if, you know, you're expecting a call, you got kids at home with the babysitter, you're the emergency contact for somebody, and you really don't need to be offline for an hour, I get it. Just hang on to it, and just only use it for that, if that happens. Yes, sir.
You want me to go to my car and get my phone?
That's perfect. That's even better than the purple sheet, but I didn't knew most people would have left it in the car. Okay, everybody good. Did anybody, I'm not gonna shame you, did anybody need to hang on to their phone? It's okay, I just want to know in case you're looking at it, it's for legit. Okay, so everybody parted what? Wow. I'm impressed. Yeah, if you have like a what you call it, watch? iWatch or smartwatch or whatever, that would count too. Okay. All right. So thank you for doing that. We'll revisit that later. We're only going to be in here for 6 or 8 hours, so you should be able to. Just kidding. Less than an hour. In fact, I need to see. What time do I have to finish? I don't even think I go till 2. Somebody have a schedule? Is it
1:55?
1:55. Okay, thank you.
1:45.
Yeah. Nice try, James. All right. So. All right, so, you know, when I was preparing for this, you always kind of want to anticipate who your audience might be so you can hopefully gear your lesson towards that. So there are 3 possibilities that you may fall into any or all of these. You're here just because you want to take notes for a friend who might struggle with being distracted by technology. You heard that I was an IT guy, and so you had some questions on how to do cool things on your phone, so this might be free tech support, right? Maybe that's why you're here. Or you don't think your family distracts you, so you didn't go to that one, so you came here. Or maybe you know they distract you, and you don't need to hear that, so maybe you ought to learn something here. Just kidding. Hopefully none of those 3 apply. Honestly, as long as you're just open to, like, being honest with yourself, you can say whatever you want, and we don't know if it's true or not. Be honest with yourself and be honest with your Lord. If some of the things that we talk about today apply to you, this is just sort of a, let me put this on your radar, and we'll let the Lord deal with it how he deals with it, right? So that's reality. In reality, what we're going to be talking about. So this is an incredibly broad subject, and to be honest, we could have done the entire seminar all day on it. So I'm narrowing it to smartphones, right? You know, Corey had said in general technology, it could be anything, entertainment, all those kind of things. So really, you can take out the word smartphone and insert Netflix movies, insert whatever, right? But because so many of us have these seemingly 24/7, 365, or at least very near us that often, and they ding and they vibrate and they do all these things, I just kind of narrow the discussion to that, and even that is a broad topic. But that's all I'm really focusing on, but the general principles apply to all kind of stuff like this, right? And this is the book. Mine's kind of beat up because actually I was on a beach reading it and it got rained on, so sorry. But this is my copy of the book. Corey mentioned it earlier. It's called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Rinke, I think. If you don't have this book, if this ends up being something that kind of the Lord puts on your heart that, yeah, I think I struggle with this maybe more than I thought I did, this is a good book to read. He and I'm not anti-smartphone. Right? You shouldn't walk out of here thinking I need to throw away my smartphone because Clint said it's like the source of all evil. Not it at all. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily like pro smartphone, right? So this is not a smartphone like good or bad debate, right? As you'll see, it's going to be more a heart discussion than the actual fill in the blank device. But this is the book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing. And for the men, I believe over the summer, Corey mentioned it, over the summer on Wednesday nights for the men, while the ladies are doing a different book study, we're actually going to be studying a different book, but by the same guy. I think it's on this distraction theme, not specifically smartphones, but it's the same kind of guy. It's an easy read. It's good stuff. Okay, so PowerPoint 101, this is way too many words on a slide. So those of you who do this for a living or soon to be doing this for a living, don't put this many words on a slide. But I wanted to quote this guy completely. So this is the author, Tony Rinke. So is my smartphone a hostile enemy? Is it a cultural trinket? Is it a legitimate tool? Our phones have concentrated powerful technology into a little device we control with our thumbs. We have full access to this technology, and by some kind of digital and electrical magic that only Glenn can explain to you, we are potentially connected at all times with every other phone on the planet. Here's his point. All of these realities are changing us. There's no debate on that. The bigger questions remain. How are our smartphones changing us, and should we be concerned, right? So unless you are literally, like, completely off the grid, no technology, no smartphone, no internet, no nothing, you are somehow influenced to some degree by technology, right? And so if you don't realize that, I'm here to say you are somehow influenced. And maybe a few of the things we talk about today you'll see, but I think you probably would recognize it already. Okay, so here are the four main things we're going to talk about. I mentioned the book says 12 ways your phone is changing you, but we don't have time to go through all 12. So I picked the four that I liked and I thought would be kind of most applicable. And these are actually just the titles of the chapters. We are addicted to distraction. Hello, that's kind of what this conference is on, right? We ignore our flesh and blood. We crave immediate approval. We become like what we like. Okay? And by the way, the handout you have, I believe if I did it right, it should literally have every one of these slides. Maybe not this one, but it should have every one of the slides. And so if you want to take notes, you can do that. All right. So before we go any further, this is a moment of truth. And I'll say it like my wife used to say it when our kids were much little. What does God know? Right? Has anybody, we've been going for about 5 minutes. Has anybody, number one, reached for your phone yet? Okay, that's good. Number two, have been tempted to reach or look or do anything with your phone. Is anybody yet? Okay. We got one honest person. Thank you, Tim. Okay. Just checking just to see. We may have another checkpoint along the way. We'll see how that goes. But I was just checking. Interestingly.
And I'm right beside
him. Interestingly. Oh, and by the way, if you have it on silent and, like, it can still pop up things and whatever, you may want
to,
like, flip it over.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Bruce and I was getting. I won't say which pianist in Providence was texting, but I was getting multiple texts from the Providence pianist. I will not say her name. She's planning tomorrow. She's doing her job, but she's traveling, so she's probably not registering that we're in a distraction thing, and she's texting me. Anyway, so Bruce and I just chuckled through Tommy's little deal there. I said, oh, my goodness, I need to preach on this.
I just want to insert about, has anyone looked at their phone? I don't know. Maybe this is just my opinion, but I think how old you are is going to have, I understand we are still very addicted to it, but I think the younger generation is more addicted to it than us because we weren't raised with all this technology in the phone. And as far as me looking at that phone every 2 minutes like these younger people,
I agree.
It's true. There's definitely a generation thing.
Yeah.
From Robert to the middle 20s to 30s, 50s, 70s.
You know, part of it is we can't see it. It's too small. I'm with you. Right? Well, and that is true. And we're gonna do some generic numbers here across the board, but recognize that obviously anytime you show an average, there are people on this side and on the other side, right?
But technology looks different. Like, it's not the phone.
Yeah.
I know. My grandma sits in front of the TV and watches Burger King ads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, It's the concept of technology.
Yes.
How you engrossed in something that's taking you away from the service.
Whether it's the phone or TV or whatever, yeah.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And, probably Facebook is probably a bigger problem. Facebook's probably a bigger problem for older folks than younger folks, right?
My grandma, I can't get her off Facebook.
Yeah.
And Robert said Facebook is old school for the young kids.
Right, of course.
Now it's whatever it is y'all do.
Yeah, Snapchat and all that. Yeah.
I'm saying I don't do any of that stuff. It's just Facebook for me. I don't do any of that.
But that's a good point that Cheryl brings up. If, as we're going through this, let's just say you're like my father-in-law was until literally about a year ago. By the way, I just got a text right now from my wife. I'm going to put it there so I won't be distracted. Well, she and the kids are at a graduation on the other side of town, and anyway, so she's probably not thinking about the distraction thing, too. Anyway, if, you know, my father-in-law was literally about a year ago, and some of y'all know my father-in-law, so you can see this. Basically, he sounds kind of acts a lot like the Duck Dynasty granddad and actually lives very close to there, too. Doesn't have the beard, but other than that, he's very similar to Phil. He just got off a flip phone about a year ago and got a smartphone. I still don't think he does much with it other than text and talk, but still, that's progress. But if you don't own a smartphone, don't own a phone, anytime we say phone, insert, like Blake was saying, insert what it is, technology, that is distracting to you. It could be the TV. It could be movies. It could be Facebook. It could be fill in the blank, right? It could be a number of things. So I'm assuming because you're here that for the most part there's some aspect of your life, technology specifically, that is, in your opinion, maybe you're spending too much time, too much focus, whatever. But if you're here and you're like, oh, I'm good. This is how I own a smartphone. Don't get caught up on the word smartphone, right? This is a generic. In fact, I didn't really want to get into this in the thing today, but the book also talks about, you know, technology didn't start with cell phones and computers and the internet. I mean, technology is like tools in the garden, you know, to fight off weeds. I mean, you know, like back Adam and Eve, you know, that we started using our brains and taking the raw materials and putting things together to make our lives easier. That's when technology started. It's just now more electronic and internet and connected and all that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, books, like 100 years ago,
yeah,
parents were talking to their kids about, like, you always got your nose in the book, you always got your nose in the book. And now it's the technology, right?
Yeah.
So 100 years ago, you didn't have any type of screen in front of you, then it was books. It's like, man, that kid's always reading a book. He's never doing any work.
Yeah, interacting.
It's the same concept.
Yep.
Technology changes, but it still holds the same place in
your
life. It's still something to mortify.
Very good. Yeah, Rick.
There's just a really real quick, a great book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, Neil Postman.
Okay.
Amusing Ourselves to Death. It's the same kind of same concept. It's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But his premise is that whatever technology is afforded to a culture, the culture ends up adapting and changing towards whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes all the way, he makes his case all the way back to the printing press,
yep,
to radio, to TV, and now
it's
happening here, and how it applies to worship and religion.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's
good
a great book.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So good. I appreciate it. So again, this is kind of focusing on this book and the smartphone, but this is just the latest flavor of things that mankind's been struggling with since the fall, right? So I don't know if you, well, let me just, these are 2018 numbers, by the way, so this is not a long time ago. It's just for Americans, and it's an average, right? On average, Americans check their phones 52 times per day. 52. So if, and I just, you know, kind of did like me, if you are awake 18 hours a day, right? And some of you youth, it's summertime, so you may be asleep 18 hours a day. I don't know. But if you are awake 18 hours a day, that means every 20 minutes on average, you're checking your phone. That doesn't say what you're doing. It just says you're checking it, right? In fact, by the time we end this session, if I hadn't made you put it on that purpose sheet of paper, you may have checked your phone 3 times before you walked out this door, right? Because it's an hour session. And the average American spends 3 or more hours on their smartphone a day. So if you only spend 30 minutes, there's somebody that spends 5 hours and 30 minutes, right? Or 6 hours, whatever it is to average y'all out to 3, right? So, yeah, Mark.
I taught the class last week in the kids' class on technology, and we were talking about TV. Smartphones, TV, computer, video games, average was 9 hours, a little over 9 hours a day.
A day. And that's an average.
Between 8 and 18.
Wow. And of course, we think here at Providence, we raise our kids and we love our kids and we would never let them spend 9 hours a day. And they may not. But recognize if your kid, like say, if your kid spends 5 hours a day on the phone, then that means somebody else is spending like 15 hours a day. Or, I mean, I don't know how they do it, you know, and go to school and do all those things.
Well, it depends what you're doing on the phone, though. Like,
true.
I'm a sub, and 9 hours a day, those kids are on an iPad doing work.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're probably on their phone 18 hours a day.
Yeah, no, that's true.
The full time.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably a very minority of the these stats are probably the minority of the people probably fall into legit. So, you know, and look, you can be reading your Bible. You can go on a Bible app. I'm not saying like just by itself those numbers are like evil, but just recognize if we actually catalog like accurately, or if we, your phones now can do it and track it if you turn that on. If you accurately, I think it's called, what's it called, screen time or something, at least on iPhone. I haven't turned that on in mine yet. I'm a little afraid to see it. I mean, I do work, and so I can't get on it a lot, but in the evenings. Anyway, but you can actually calculate that, and I bet you, wherever you are, I bet you, if you picked a number, started tracking that for a week, and got the actuals, there would be a big gap there, because we just don't remember. Even if it's just 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, just to check up, whatever it is, an email, a text, or something. I don't know if you can see it on the screen or on your handout. This is the actual, this was from yesterday. On Instagram, it's a Piper quote, which I have no idea when he said it, but Tim Challies, who I follow on Instagram, posted it yesterday, and Corey mentioned it out there. John Piper says, one of the greatest, now, Corey didn't slam Twitter and Facebook directly, he said social media, I'm just going to quote it. One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time, right? So I think that hits home. Take out Twitter, Facebook, insert Snapchat, Instagram, surfing the web, whatever it is that you do when you're connected, you know, don't, whatever. But anyway, so I thought that was an interesting insight. So here's some things. This is like, you know, I think very few of us would say that I'm addicted to distractions. I mean, you wouldn't think. There's degrees. I get it, right? And addicted is a really strong word and has a lot of other connotations and other things, whatever. So very few of us would probably sign up to say that we are. However, he kind of puts this our temptations, I guess, in three different areas. And if you're honest with yourself, and I had to be when I was doing this, and by the way, the high school kids, we went through this a few months ago. We finished this up. Maybe end of last year, spilled into the first of this year. We taught this in the high school class. And so I think some of them, they were having to be honest when we went through it as well, and we got some people saying, yeah, I didn't think I would, you know, anyway, so it was good. Lots of times, again, not just smartphones, but lots of times we use digital distractions to keep work away, school, actual job, housework, whatever. I could fold the laundry, or I could read in that document, or I could, you know, and you just, it's just a way to just procrastinate and push things down the road, right? People away. How many times, maybe late in the day, maybe whenever is just your time of the day when you have a lull, you got kids at home, you got coworkers, you got whatever, you just kind of don't want to engage, right? So how often is it just so much easier just to do this if just nothing else? And even talked about a bit in the book, even when you are actually interacting with somebody at home, at work, whatever, what does it mean to you? I'm sitting here having a conversation at Fellowship Hall over donuts with Rick. Not that I should be eating donuts, but whatever. And all of a sudden, he and I are talking, and I'm doing this.
I know.
Yeah, Yeah, and I'm doing this. And even worse, I start doing this. Yeah, what is it? What in the world is?
Hey, Clint, what do you think about that? Huh?
Yeah. You're right, Rick. I love it. I mean, so what? What are even when we are interacting and we're sort of not interacting because we've got that in front of us, right? We're head bobbing and you know. Don't raise
taking that one step further. I've heard that if you're sitting down at a restaurant, having your phone on the table is just as rude and disrespectful. It's like you're not engaging with that person at the table. You're because all of a sudden you're going to glance down at the phone. So it's like, put it away.
I know this is not y'all. This is other people. Right? This is like when your kid gets in trouble, it's because of his friends, right? Never because of him. You're at a restaurant, a family restaurant, never happened to you. You look over, and you've got a husband on his phone, a wife on his phone, and the kids watching a movie.
Yeah.
It's like, why'd y'all even leave the house? This is a, you know, just order pizza and sit at home. You know, I'm sure y'all have never done that, but you've seen that done before.
But that's the future, though, and that's what's sad. That's the future, though.
Have you ever seen a husband and wife do that? And you're thinking, okay, they may have kids, and they're out on a date, and what are they doing? You know, I mean, I've done it. We've all done it to a degree. I mean, I'm not saying nobody, you know, whatever, and they probably didn't do it the whole night. But you look, it's just a bad,
It's just bad etiquette at a minimum, and it says it speaks volumes to the person that you're with or the group that you're with about where you are in the pecking order, right?
Maybe they're texting each other.
Yeah. True, that would be odd, but yeah. There are a lot of socially weird things that we do now because we have our phones that we would have never dreamed of doing 100 years ago, but it just seems normal. Like, your kids will text with other people, but when they see them, they won't talk to them face-to-face. So that is a rule at our house, just so you know. Sorry, boys, if you're listening to this recording later. If it's a friend of yours who is a girl and you would like to text her, first of all, some girls you need to ask their parents, but my kids are older now, but if you're not willing to talk to her face-to-face, you can't text her. That has shut down several conversations or made them step up and actually man up and, like, look her in the eye and, you know, whatever. Okay, Dad, can I text you? Yes, you talked to her. Okay, whatever. But it's amazing how, and we'll talk about it in one of the other slides, how bold sometimes we can get on the other side of a phone, a screen, or whatever, and then you see that person or that group or whatever face-to-face and you say nothing, or you certainly don't say the same things that with boldness that you did behind the sort of anonymity of, even though they knew it was you, there's still sort of this anonymous thing, right? So he kind of gives a definition there of distraction. Distraction is something that diverts our minds and hearts from what is most significant. And, of course, to put a Christian spin on it, we can only fight against distractions if our affections are locked firmly on the glory of Christ. Does that definition sound like any other word that we talk about a lot? It's a four-letter word that starts with an I.
Idol,
right? Distraction, something that diverts. Idol, something that we put in front of the Lord or in its improper place, whatever, right? So, okay, so very, very similar. All right, so we've dabbled in this a little bit already with some of the conversations we've had, but we ignore our flesh and blood. We ignore people a whole lot more. Like Blake was saying, maybe several generations ago, books caused maybe some people to do that. Instead of sitting around the fire and having a talk late at night or whatever, they're sitting around the fire, all of you are reading books, right? And the granddad's like, back in my day, we actually talked when we were sitting around the fire. You get the newfangled kids and this printing press and, you know, whatever. It's the same thing now with electronics, right? And look, here's the thing. And for those of you who have young kids, just wait. When they're teenagers, they will bust you on all the same stuff that you bust them on electronics. So just be, and hey, and you got to be ready for it because they're right, right? You know, when we tell them, you got 10 minutes on your phone, do what you got to do on your stupid little game and your 35 people that you text on this meaningless group chat, do it in 10 minutes and put it down. Well, hey, Mom, you've been on your phone for 20 minutes checking whatever. Okay, having teenagers is humbling in a lot of ways, but this is certainly one of them. This will be more of an issue, obviously, the older your kids get, but make sure we're not casting the first stone because we, even though we didn't grow up with it, most of us, we to some degree struggle with this as well, right? So here's a couple of specific things he talked about, and I did not think about this until I read it in the book. Again, other people, not you, texting and driving. Right. I know that there's some handheld ways you can do it and voice recognition stuff and all that. And so that is way, way better. That's still distracting, but it's not nearly as bad as, you know, doing that. But he made the point that if you were driving down the road and if you are texting, at a minimum, you're showing a lack of awareness that other people are around you. But probably more likely you're showing that really that responding to that text right now is more important than the people around you. He actually made the point that, he said, when you're talking on the phone and driving, he didn't distinguish between holding a phone or hands-free. But when you're talking, you're four times more likely to get in a crash than when you're not talking on a phone. But he said, when you're texting and driving, you're 23 times more likely to get into a crash. In fact, I've heard... Alan's not in here. I've heard, and I know it's true. Depending on the degree of the crash or whatever else, lots of times police officers or detectives, or whatever, will get in touch with phone companies to get a copy of if you're in a wreck and they suspect and they just need to prove it that you were on your phone. They can subpoena your phone records, and you'll get in actually more trouble if you caused a wreck while you're on your phone than if it was just negligence or whatever. Yeah, Gina.
Insurance companies will say, we want your phone records to verify you are not talking on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, Blake.
I think what should kill our consciences is the fact that
If you're on the phone texting and driving, or on the phone and driving, that's not hands-free. You are 100% breaking the law.
Oh, yes. Yeah, true.
You're now a transgressor legally
mm-hmm.
of the principalities of this land, and you are breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so that should also affect us.
That's a great point. Yeah, I forget, because I don't keep up with it, but I know for a long time in school zones, you can't even be on your phone talking or whatever. I forget where all the states are. If they're not there, they're going to be there about the whole thou shalt
some
not text
like
and drive.
Have rules against
texting, yeah. Well, and...
But at what point does it become, beating,
Yeah. Oh, where everybody's doing
everyone.
It. Yeah. Well, he quoted this stat, and basically, I don't think I put it on there. He said, if you're driving down the freeway, so you're not just in your neighborhood, but you're driving down the freeway, so you're going at pretty good speeds, in the typical time it takes to respond to a text, which I forget, I don't have all this in front of me, essentially, the length of time, and it's just a few seconds, where you're looking down to respond or read to that text, you're essentially driving blind the entire length of a football field,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, again, in your neighborhood going 20, that's probably more dangerous because there's kids, but the distance is not as much. But if you're flying down 45 and you hear a ding and you just feel like I got to read that text, if you're going at posted speeds, you've gone from the zero, from the goal line here to the goal line on the other end of that football field. And if something happened in between or cut in front of you or whatever else, you're not even going to see it, let alone have time to react to it, right? So he made the point that obviously, it's dangerous, but it's just a heart issue. It's not showing like the Bible has commanded us to love our neighbor as ourself, right? I hadn't really thought, I just thought, yeah, texting and driving is dangerous. You can crash, right? Well, obviously you can crash. You can crash by yourself and nobody else is on the road if you're not paying attention. But even more, more important than me being careful not to endanger myself is that innocent guy who's driving right next to me and minding his own business, and I veer over and hit him because I feel like I can't wait, 5 minutes till I get to a red light and respond, or an hour until I get home, even better, to respond, to the text. And he made the point. He said, oftentimes we will ignore the people that we see to care for the people we don't see. So some random friend, coworker, whoever, is texting me, and I'm going to ignore all the people driving 80 miles an hour around me to respond immediately, which is typically not even necessary to somebody I don't even see that's in front of me, right? Okay, again, none of you guys have ever done this, but via text, via email, via, I don't know, if you get on websites and you post comments or whatever else, there's this phenomenon called anonymous anger. You can probably guess from the title what that means. He said there's this, and there's probably some psychological stuff too, but basically when we get behind the screen, our digital personas are somehow separated from our flesh and blood. We do this basketball ministry, and I've had a couple of positions in there before where we've had to do some administrative stuff, and I've had some people, again, you make a decision, and there's 10 different ways people can think about it. They're going to think about all 10, but anyway, you can't please everybody. But I've had some scathing emails sent to me based on, you shouldn't have changed the color of our uniforms. I mean, it's dumb stuff, but whatever. And I would literally see that person 2 days later, and not only would they not bring that up, but they were very polite and kind and nice to me. And I thought, this doesn't really, So I don't understand why we do that, but we do it. And so just it's the whole thing. And that's why Twitter has been an issue and gotten a lot of people in trouble, because it's so easy and so fast to just go send. As opposed to what? Slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. 100 years ago, maybe you could get on the phone and call somebody and vent before you prayed and asked the Lord to calm you down, maybe. But you've got all kind of different ways that you can vent and show your impatience now, and we do it often. So again, we sort of forget who's on the receiving end of that. It's a sinner just like us, maybe even a sinner saved by grace just like us, and we just send it because we were mad and enraged and righteous indignation and send it, and then either right away or very shortly thereafter, whoops. Obviously, at that point, all you can do is just ask for forgiveness and pray and repent, and it's done. But anyway, so this new technology is just sort of bringing other things up and out of our hearts. The opposite, he focused. He wanted to make this a positive thing and just emphasize how joyous face-to-face fellowship can be, right?
Speaking of,
You just kick on?
Yeah.
I actually have a thermostat thing. Okay, if y'all get hot, tell me. I can actually do it from here instead of asking Mr. Warner to do it back there.
I'm 70. Speaking of technology.
Yeah. Well, you missed it. I was literally getting text while I'm up here talking, so I had to put it on the phone. I'm putting it on the floor. Anyway. So the opposite of this sort of anonymity and behind the screens and whatever else is the joy of fellowship. And this is actually Blake referenced this earlier. This is the end of Second John verse 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. You know, and Paul concludes a number of his letters as well, talking about, I can't wait till I get to go see you. You know, obviously, he was in prison. There were logistical reasons why he couldn't visit all the churches when he needed to give them, you know, something that the Lord had given him. But he always wanted to visit them. John, you know, mentioned here, always wanted to visit them. Back in John's day, the paper and ink was a modern technology, right? So even John says, I would rather not use paper and ink and see you face to face, right? So Blake, he hit it. He's like, he saw my, you know, he knew back in the day, a couple thousand years ago, paper and ink and sending it via letter or scroll, however they did it, was a new thing, right? And so even back, so again, the whole smartphone, smartphone's not the problem. We're going to get to this in conclusion. It's us and our hearts, right? It's just, that's the latest thing that we're inserting in the way. This one in particular, is this a big issue with you personally, with your family, with people you know, not you, whatever? Is this a big problem? Yes, sir? Okay, I agree. I mean, I think we'd all agree. Are we willing to do anything about it personally? Or maybe, maybe you don't have a problem. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's your parent. I don't know who may have the issue, but, I'm a technology guy. In our household, you know, I'm much more introverted than my wife. I contend this can be a problem for me. Not necessarily the texting and driving and the anonymous anger necessarily, but just the sort of disconnecting sometimes from reality. I mean, I'm a computer guy at work, right? So I literally am sending information all day, every day. Sometimes I'm emailing a guy who's, you know, 20 feet down the hall from me. Now, since if I'm managing or something, I kind of have to do face-to-face, but we so often do things facing a screen, and then we kind of don't think about the other side of it. Or in some days, I'm interacting with people all day. I'm spent, right? Some of you, even that stay at home with your kids, you're interacting with kids all day, and you're spent. You get relief at night, and you sit down, and you're like, ah, right? Can you relate, right? Not that my wife has ever done that, but I'm just saying. She just told me that she knows people who do, right? Yeah.
Well, no, the face-to-face allows you to go ahead and learn how to work the problem.
Yeah.
And that's essential in family, friends, coworkers, and so face-to-face, it teaches you how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our country's getting. A lot of we're not learning how to work through our problems anymore, and so that's decreasing.
Right, right. Well, and there's, I can't remember if I have it up here or not, but anyway, I thought the author did a good job about just reminding us how important face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball interaction is in just having true, authentic fellowship. Right? Number one, you know where somebody's coming from. I tend to be, I'm a smart aleck a little bit. I got teenage boys. I mean, you kind of have to be, but even if I didn't, I think I would be anyway. And I tend to say things and stay deadpan. And so maybe it doesn't work as much with me. But you can tell somebody's joking just by looking at them. But if they text it or email it or whatever.
Exactly.
There you go, Ron.
And so I'm careful sometimes in a text or something. I put a happy face at the end or a grin just to let them know, hey, I was kidding. I was just picking at you. But if I'm sitting here doing this, I mean, I can wink, I can do whatever. And you know right away that I'm just teasing. You can tell when you're talking to me if I'm kind of doing the whatever. Obviously, I'm not paying attention. There's just so many. It's just like communication 101 that face-to-face is so important. Yes, sir.
Well, there's just something about the sound of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
We can't be face to face a lot, mm-hmm. but we all have different things to do. We're doing different things.
Yep.
But it's just the sound of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I got friends that always wanted to text me, which I don't receive or something.
Well, then I'm not offended that you haven't been responding to me.
No, it irritates them, but if it's important enough, mm-hmm. then I want them to call me.
Yeah.
And if it's important enough for me to talk to them, I want to call them.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear their voice.
Yeah.
You're old school. Because if it's important enough, you're going to text you.
Yeah.
Right. It won't interrupt anything. Well.
I don't mean you're
but see, that's what's changing with this new generation is the communication mm-hmm.
yeah.
and the face-to-face is going away.
Yeah.
And it's really going to change the way this entire country
walk into a restaurant
works.
And order something
yeah.
and see how well the community
yeah.
is going away.
Yeah.
Because
no,
you
right.
don't know how to communicate.
Like,
I would also make the argument that like people have long-distance relationships that are like fully over Skype. And so... There can be effective communication.
Oh, yeah, that's better, yeah.
So I'm mm-hmm. saying, like, there are levels of it, and it's doable. It's just, like, again, it's are you striving to be an effective communicator first?
Right.
Because that's only fair to the other person.
No. Right, yeah.
No, but I was just yeah. going to say, yeah, I thought about that, too, before, but mm-hmm. but still there's the elements of being face-to-face
yeah.
where you're picking up intuitive, and mm-hmm. like you say, you always know where you're joking, so and Skype's not going to provide that, even
yeah.
if you're seeing the facial recognition. So there's a spiritual sense that all the other antennas and
yeah. Of course, you know, I work with people who are overseas, and you know, you've got family overseas, whatever. And so sometimes it is what it is. And so technology has allowed us to at least get the video part, so that's better, you know. But yeah, when it's texting your friend that you're going to see in an hour face to face, you know, can it wait and can you have a real conversation and you know whatever. So here's the other thing. Again, this may be a generational thing to a degree, but please, if you're not, I don't even know what we call young folks these days, millennials, but then there's whatever's after millennials, because I think like Eli and Hannah are probably millennials.
What?
Huh? Socialists. Oh, come on. Hey, we've already had the politics. Disregard that from the record. James, I should have let you. Anyway, hey, we already had the politics. This is technology. It's not politics. So, but again, please don't zone out if you're not a huge social media person. And to be honest, I'm not a huge social media person. I have Instagram because my boys got it a few years ago, and I said, if you have it, I'm going to get it. And I'm following you, so I know everything you post, and I'm going to try to follow a lot of people that you follow, so I know whatever. So it was that's the only reason I'm on it. But now that I'm on it, I'm actually glad because there's people that I don't see in other states that I can semi-keep up with what they're doing. But anyway, but I probably have posted 10 Instagram posts in like 5 years. So I'm not a big poster. However, I will say this. The few times that I do, and we just finished up a basketball season, and I coached Sam, and they had some success, whatever, so I posted kind of a ooey-gooey coach's last post, you know, thing, great season, the boys, I've been blessed, all that kind of stuff, had some pictures and all. I caught myself, I had taught this class, I'm leading this deal, I caught myself checking back later in the day, how many people liked it?
Yeah.
How many people viewed it? How many people, right? And I'm an old guy who didn't grow up with these things. I can imagine if you're young and the smartphone is almost all you've ever known and social media, it's a bigger deal just for younger folks. I get it, it's not their fault, it just is. I can imagine it's a huge temptation to do that, even if that's not why you post, but after you post, you're really, really curious, right? But I think if you post a lot, that can go into what do I post and how do I post and what do I look like and what do I not put in the post and all that kind of stuff. So that he talks a little bit about, and I thought this was interesting for this chapter, the difference between a hero and a celebrity, right? And his definition was heroes are people of character, known for acts of valor and celebrated long after their deaths. And he says here, time makes heroes, right? Oftentimes, the true heroes, the ones that we still talk about, they may or may not have been recognized for all that they did, even when they were alive, right? And certainly over time, as things came out, you know, of course, they withstood the test of time. We still celebrate them. As opposed to a celebrity who is newsworthy because of his visible charm, maybe talents, whatever else that they've got. Typically with a celebrity, the passage of time destroys the celebrity, right? At some point, a week, a month, a year, whatever, at some point, everyone's going to move on from that celebrity when either they're not as pretty, they're not as strong, they're not as accomplished, they're just not the latest thing, whatever it is, right? So I just thought the contrast between heroes, it's like their stature kind of rises over time, and celebrities, you know, they fall off the face of the earth over time, and that, you know, whatever. So I wanted to look. What is this, John? Yeah, John 12:43. We know this, but sometimes we don't act like we do, right? For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And he made the following. He said, if you follow Christ, the world will unfollow you, right? So our kids, a lot of them are friends. They grow up in this church, and they've got a good kind of circle, and a number of them are professing Christians. The ones that aren't, I think the Lord's working on them, many of them. And so they've got a good group, and so this wouldn't necessarily make as much sense to them. But when you just go into the world, wherever you are, at some retail store, the mall, any school down the street, whatever, if you are legitimately, like, actually following after the Lord, and certainly if you're vocal about it, the world will unfollow you, right? I mean, you are swimming upstream, and it's, you know, every generation has probably said this, but I think it's getting worse, right? If you actually are bold for your faith, you are going to look 180 degrees different than just the typical person out there, right? And so it just goes back to whose approval is more important, right? Is the Lord's approval more important or my buddies, right? And that's hard. And here's the thing. That's hard for everybody in this room, right? Even me, even you. It may manifest itself differently, and we may be a little bit more slicker and subtle about it, and so it's harder to tell. But we often say and do things, or don't say and do things, because we're a little bit concerned about coworkers, neighbors, friends, y'all, whatever we think, as opposed to this, you know, the Lord's laid it on my heart to kind of have this conversation with you, but I know if I do, it's not going to go well, so I'm going to kind of water it down, and we're just going to talk about the Astros, right? That's certainly the case, and can be applied to social media. What's more important when we're using our social media, or when younger folks or whoever, active social media users, do we use it so that ultimately the Lord would say, well done, or do we use it to gain popularity or get approvals and all these things, right? Now, I went on Joel's account, and he's gotten a lot of followers, and, like, just kidding, this is not from Joel's account. No, he's only about 2 million. He's not 2.7. He brought up this point, and for those of you who are active social media users, and this is Facebook, this is everything, right? When you go to post pictures about a vacation or an event or something that has happened in your life, right? Amy and I had debated before. Somebody, I'm sure, does this because I'm not the most original person in the world, but it would be funny if on our Instagram account or something, all we ever posted about was, like, the boring stuff we do. Here's our pile of laundry. Been here for 3 days. Someday we'll get to it, right? I've been dressing myself out of this pile for a week, right? Nobody posts that. They post their precious living room because they're having their dinner party and they whatever, right? They don't post their dirty laundry. They don't post the picture of their kid when he's got a runny nose, right? I mean, you don't post. You know, we just let it be funny to be like the opposite of whatever. But when you do post, you find the most attractive picture. If your family's on the beach, you know, you want the one that where everybody's looking the best. They're actually looking at the camera, and the boys aren't fighting with each other, and the girls aren't pulling hair and whatever. You cull out. They've even got filters. Thank you. They've even got filters, right? So even above and beyond your best picture, you can even sort of semi-digitally enhance it or color it or whatever you do with all the filters, whatever. Every now and then you'll see a post. Again, I'm really just an Instagram person. You'll see a post, and I think these are hilarious. Well, they'll say the Instagram picture and the right after or the real life or whatever, and it's dramatically different, right? And so the Instagram one is typically, or Facebook or wherever, that's the only one that you actually ever see. So again, if that's the entire way or the majority of the way that we're interacting with a lot of people that we know, number one, we're not portraying real life and who we really are, and certainly they aren't either. And he even went into a deal, and I'm not going to get deep, but he said if you see all that every day, you can start feeling insecure about, well, my life really stinks. Well, I'm really boring. All I did was sit home and grade papers tonight, or all I did was, mow the grass or whatever, and they're all doing all this stuff. I don't even know how they afford all that, but whatever. You're watching all that, and you're like, well, my life stinks, And it can even get, even more serious than that, and kind of you can spiral if you start comparing yourselves to whatever else. But, he said if we are looking for praise from man and man alone, it is insecure. It'll never satisfy. Of course, it'll make us insecure about who we are, whatever. If we don't know that we are Christians and we are in Christ, and ultimately his praise matters, we love it when people pat us on the back and whatever. But if you got to choose between the two, ultimately, and there are people in colleges and whatever that use social media wonderfully, right? I mean, that post I showed you from Tim Challies, I mean, he sends out great stuff. I mean, there are great people to follow and Facebook and all the above. But then there's the rest of us that are just goofing off, right? And so I mentioned this. Oftentimes, it's safe to put ourselves out there on social media because we can carefully craft our words, we can carefully craft our photos, we can carefully craft what we share, what we don't share. It's much safer and easier to do that versus actually working through a real, genuine, authentic relationship with somebody. People are messy. Right, we are messy, right? Getting to really know somebody and being a lifelong friend with somebody takes work. It takes forgiveness, it takes patience, it takes all the above, and it's 50-50, right? We dish out as much as we receive, even though we don't seem to see it that way. And that's genuine, authentic Christian fellowship as opposed to just sort of the fake worlds that we all portray, right? And that's one of the things that social media can enslave us to. Before I say anything, anybody know why Michael Jordan is on here? Just look at the title. Anybody, like you gotta be kind of my age.
Like Mike.
Be like Mike, right? So you young people, maybe YouTube it, but they used to have these commercials that come out, said, I want to be like Mike, right? Anyway, one of the titles that I really thought was interesting of one of the chapters is, we become like what we like, right? So, you know, again, liking things on social media, whatever else. He called it digital narcissism. I.e. selfie, right? To this day, I don't know. This is not like a grand theological statement or a holier-than-thou statement. It's just it is what it is. Like, it never occurs to me when I go somewhere interesting, it never occurs to me, hey, look, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I didn't grow up with it. Again, I'll look at a few young people and no offense, but if I'd grown up with it, I'd be doing it too, right? But it never occurs to me to do that, but yet I see that all the time. I just take a picture of the cool thing and I, you know, whatever. Then I print it with my scrapbook. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that. But the point is, we start to become, it's okay, it's kind of the whole garbage in, garbage out, where do you spend your time, what's your focus, what's your energy. But in essence, we become like what we worship, right? Are we worshiping the things of man? Are we worshiping the things of the Lord, right? The object of our worship is the object of our imitation. We wouldn't actively verbally say that. I wouldn't say I'm on, you know, Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on the internet, whatever, because I worship these things. Nobody would say that, right? Secular people wouldn't even say that. But oftentimes, if that's what we spend our time doing, if that's all the input that we get when we have a choice of what we input into our brains, we start to lean in those directions. And that, you know, I can tell with my family members when it's been a little while since we've been like actively in the Word and having devotions and family time or whatever. You can just tell. I mean, I can tell by how we interact with each other. I can tell by the jokes that we tell and laugh. I mean, they get a little more edgy, right? Again, I have teenagers, and so we have to deal with those kind of things. So there's a passage in Romans 1, 22 and 23. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So this is not new to us in this generation in America, right? Since, you know, at least a couple thousand years ago and beyond that, too. We thought we were wise in our own eyes, and we replaced the glory of God, which is really the only glorious thing there is, with all the things of the world, right? And again, technology. So, I mean, this is just the latest flavor of technology. Idolatry. Here's that word again. He said, we don't stand over our phones and direct them based on our calling to be in the image of God. Instead, we bow to our phones as worlds of digital possibilities. And it's the whole, back to the John Piper quote, but how much time do we spend in the Word versus time on your phone? So my point in saying that is not, if you don't feel like you're spending enough time in the Word, you can never get on your phone. It's really not. It's all about a balance. Sometimes you just need to, you know, take a nap, take a break, whatever. I mean, and that the phones is an ideal way to do that. It's just, as we'll get to in just a second, the bottom line, and I'll say the other thing, am I controlling my phone or is it controlling me? Right? At the end of the day, do I think about how I use the phone? Fill in the blank if it's not the phone. Do I think about it or I just kind of do, right? Most of us just kind of do, right? Sometimes in the tyranny of the urgent, you just don't have time to do all that you would do on your phone. But when you have time, it's a slow afternoon, you're in the car, whenever it is that you actually have some time, what do you do with that time? What do I do with that time? Do I interact with other humans and have a good conversation? I'm guilty of that. I get on a road, and especially like in a road trip, and like I'm in the zone. Like, you know, I'm not on my phone, obviously, because I'm typically the one driving on the family trip, but it's like I'm in the zone. I'm making time, right? It's dead time, right? We get there fast, and you get to use bathroom once, and, you know, all the stereotypes. I'm not quite that bad, but I lean that direction, right? Or it's just a time, it's a Friday night, it's been a busy week, it's just a time for me to just kind of just do this and chill. Again, I'm a little more introverted. My wife, that's her time to like, woo, we can have a five-hour conversation and solve all this stuff.
I can see that with Amy.
So, yeah. But then the sun sets and she falls asleep, and so it's fine. Yeah, you got, and for those of you who know her, yeah, she'll have a conversation at 5 a.m., 10 p.m., not so much. Anyway, so it's just, and that's just a dynamic that we have to work through in our car on family, whatever. But it's selfish on my part. In particular with the boys, because the boys, they'll stay up as late as whatever. You know, they're teenagers. They like it. So I have blown a lot of opportunities to have good conversations and sometimes just dumb conversations, but just a conversation with the kids. They're trapped. You know, they're right there behind me or whatever. They can't go anywhere. We got to have a conversation.
That's the
right?
only time I get to talk to Robert.
That's what I'm saying.
In the car.
He can't go anywhere unless he's jumping, right? So again, do we take advantage of those situations? And it may not be a car, but whatever your situation. Or is that like our default? I'm getting on my phone and I'm having me time. It could be a combination of both. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you can't pull out your phone on a road trip. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that at all. But anyway, we have a plan, right? So here's a couple of overarching things to kind of leave you with. And if you only remember one slide from today, remember this one because it's kind of the big picture, right? Smartphones reveal our heart issues. Smartphones are not the problem. The internet is not the problem. Facebook is not the problem, right? Snapchat is not the problem. A movie is not the problem. The problem, like so many other things, it's our heart and our attitude towards those things. And are we doing them at all? And if we are, what's the point and how much time and who's getting glorified through that, right? So the problem, it's a heart issue. The question is not what can I do with my phone, but what should I do with it? So again, I'm not advocating that you don't have a phone. I'm not advocating that you don't use it. I use mine all the time for work, for all kinds of things. So the question really is, but what should we be doing with our phones? There's certain things you have to do. I get it. But beyond that, the stuff that you get flexibility on, what should I be doing on the phone, and maybe what should I not be doing, or what should I be doing less of? It's okay, but it's just in moderation. I need to dial it back. The purpose to me for this session was to make sure, you know, everybody's at a different place in life and with this particular issue, but if nothing else, I'm hoping that something that this guy said or I said or somebody else in this room said, I'm hoping that something that was said today maybe made you think, huh, I might need to rethink how I do X or how long I do X or whatever, right? So that was the purpose. I don't have a formula. Everybody's different. Everybody's life is different. I'm not going to, you know, there isn't nothing. You know, one of the things I was going to say at the first slide was maybe you're here because you want me to tell you how much time on your phone is okay. I'm not going to tell you. Some people's 5 minutes, some people's 5 hours. I have no idea, right? Just depends on where you are and what you're doing on your phone. Again, there's great Bible study apps. There's all kind of wonderful tools on there. If you're on there, I mean, that's awesome, right? And so that would probably inflate some of those stats. I just think, across the country, that's not the typical, you know, reason those stats are so high. But then the bottom line, you know, am I controlling the phone or is it controlling me? Do we think through how do I use my phone and technology, or do we just kind of, in this case, take the wide road and just kind of follow the path? There's a new app that came out that somebody told you about. Hey, that sounds cool. Hey, look, hey, you know, or do we say, do I need another app on my phone? Right, I got a lot of apps already. I don't really think, or I really do think I need that one, so maybe I ought to take one off. You know, maybe just like I only have X number of apps. I don't know. You know, whatever works for you. So here's one last question, and then it's actually about time to go. It's now been 50 minutes since you have put your phones on the magic purple sheets of paper. Has anybody been tempted or actually grabbed your phone? Gina. Rachel. Shame. Okay. Okay. No, that's good. I appreciate your honesty. Were you tempted, Gina? Gina, were you tempted, or did you actually grab it?
Oh, I grabbed it. I texted Amy and laughed at her because she was texting you while you were teaching.
Okay, I'll give you that one. That's good.
That's okay.
So, but here's the thing. First of all, I do think. And you can get your phone. You can get your phone out if you want to.
It's so engaging and interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow,
thank you. That's really good.
Hey, your check's in the mail. Thank you. And don't forget, when you get those surveys, give me a 5 or 10 or whatever it takes, right? Yeah. So I will say this. First,
post it on Instagram.
Yeah, post how much you love this, right? I will say this, and this is my personal experience too. We're not as dependent on phones as we sometimes make ourselves believe we are. And so hopefully, most of you, except for a couple of heathens in the back, you were able to make it an hour, right, without it. And even if, whatever, if you weren't, it is what it is. It's funny. I tell the story. Priscilla knows I tell the story. I've told it in front of her, but Priscilla Pena, who's down there, she grew up in the church. She was in youth group with us. She would go to camp with us a number of years. Camp Eagle is on the other side of Kerrville, and it's on the other side of the other side of the other side of nothing on Kerrville, and it's the only place that I consistently go where no cell coverage, no nothing, like 10 miles out, right? When Gina's gone before, like, we get up to the top of the mountain to do the, what you call it, the zip line thing, and that's the one place you can semi get coverage. And so she gets 5,000 voicemails from real estate deals she's missing because she's out there with us. But Priscilla Lopez at the time went with us probably one of our first years. And of course, we just tell them, don't bring your phones because we don't want to have any. But even if you had them, you couldn't do much on them. She told us about 2 days into it that it's like she literally was like kind of having like, I mean, she's just being honest, like she was having kind of withdrawals. And I said, well, I appreciate your honesty. And she actually said by the end of the week, like she was good and whatever. And it just made her realize how dependent, as like a 17-year-old, however she was at the time, how often, because she said, I cannot tell you how many times during the day I went. Because she kept it in her back pocket all the time. I mean, she said 100 times. I'm walking, I got, just have it, right? And so I think she learned something that week. So, sometimes, again, I'm not necessarily advocating, sometimes people say, I'm going to get off the technology, get off the grid, whatever. If that's an hour, if it's a day, if it's a weekend, whatever. If you feel like you need to kind of do some drastic stuff, that's fine. I would just encourage you, if nothing else, just maybe rethink or assess this week, this weekend, whenever. Just pay more attention. It's almost like if you need to lose weight and you don't think you eat too much and you start writing down everything you eat during the day, you're like, phew, I eat too much, right? And so maybe just pay attention for a few days or a week or something and just say, how much do I use my phone and what am I doing when I'm on it?
It's an awareness.
Yes. And I think, because I've done it, I think if you do it, even after a day, I think you'll be surprised. Holy cow, I do this way too much. Maybe I need to rethink this.
I actually think your phone tracks that.
Yes, you can do it. Yeah, I'd mention I can do it on my phone. I haven't turned that on yet because I'm a little afraid of what it's going to say. Any last-minute thoughts, comments?
I just have a thought, yeah. And that is, this room's easy because everybody sees here. Mm-hmm. It's more important to glorify God, right? So that's why we want less time on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
But for our teenagers, I went on a field trip yesterday, and the entire school was on their phone in the lunchroom. My kids aren't saved. They don't know Christ.
Yeah.
And so they don't say, why, Mom? If I mention Christ at this school, nobody's going to be my friend. Everybody plays on their cell phone. Mom, why? How do we teach our kids? And I want them to have a cell phone because when that gunner comes into that school, I want to know where they are so I can be on that side of the school to pick them up.
Right.
So what do I do? How do you teach your kids?
Yeah, well,
how do you save the lot? Teach the lot that don't seem more important.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. Well, it's a long answer, but the short version is it's sorry, Corey, I'm late. It's a great question. It's a great question. But it's in general, our kids before they know Christ, whether it's a cell phone, there's so many issues where they just don't get it, right? I mean, anybody, but I mean, the kids are like directly under our authority in our homes, and we know them better than anybody knows them. we point them to Christ, we share the gospel, we share all the value, all the things that the word says about human interaction and all those things. And it's not that I'm keeping this device away from you. It's that that device can keep you away from stuff that's even greater, right? Still, that doesn't exactly, they don't see it as greater because they don't know the Lord. Also too, but I've just said, that's, we don't keep telling them that. But also too, we oftentimes have to lead by example, right? If I come home every night and I'm in a funk and I'm in a bad mood and I'm tired and I'm this, that, and the other, and I call myself a Christian, Christ doesn't look real appealing to them. And I'm not saying you do this, this is just me. Christ doesn't look real appealing to my kids if I profess to be a Christian and I'm just, you pick up your room, all that kind of stuff. Why in the world would they want to follow the God that I follow? You know what I mean? And so, and specifically on the phone, if I come home and get on my phone every night, and then I turn around and say, you need to get off your device, you know, so I got to lead by example that way too. But there are so many things for our kids, and that's a tough one, you know, and our kids who are in school, and they see they're confronted with so many more things than even us in the workforce and whatever are confronted with. To be a Christian anytime, but certainly this day and age as a young person, is just countercultural in so many ways. I mean, modesty and language and electronics and what you do in your spare time and do you follow the obey the law or not? I mean, all these things they can be tempted to do dramatically that, you know, I'm not necessarily on a day-to-day basis in my workplace tempted to do as much because it just doesn't come up. You know, we're adults and we just kind of show up and we do our work. Every now and then you'll hear whatever, but in the typical workplace it's not. So pray for them, love on them, lead by example, you know. Yeah, like,
I would just say that it's always been that way and will continue to be that way. Like, mm-hmm. All Christians will, and like true believers will always live by example. True believers will live by the book, and they will stick out and will be different.
Mm-hmm.
It was like in the Old Testament, it's like that in the New Testament when you see Christians following Christ,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was Messiah or Carmel Christ. And then we see that with the Puritans. We see people spending 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day in the Word, while everyone else is going in the village and having fun and going to church one day a week and not even touching their Bible.
Yeah.
Because it's a state church and everyone's a believer all they want.
So mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that's who we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always be that way. True believers will be dedicated to the Lord and we'll have to mortify that.
Yeah.
So it just looks different.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming. Let me pray real quick. We're a few minutes behind, so I apologize when we pray, then we'll be dismissed. I've got this book. You want to come look at it or whatever?
Yeah,
or talk for it. Oh, okay, good. So it's like $10 for me. It's not that expensive if you want to get it too. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day again and for this time you've had together. I pray that you are honored and you are glorified by the discussion that we had. Lord, help us to apply biblical truth to our day-to-day lives. Lord, help us to see you for truly who you are and to see ourselves for who we truly are and to recognize that infinite chasm that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to recognize your glory and your awesomeness in every sense of the word awesome, and help us to realize that we need you and we need Christ and we need much less of the world. Lord, help us to be honest and humble in how we assess ourselves and our hearts around technology and entertainment and all those things. And help us to live each day and each moment of every day for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.